حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله تمام وأحكم عظيم. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد.
والصلاه والسلام على والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين مولانا ابو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد.
والصلاه والسلام على اهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. اما بعد، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم والقرآن المجيد وقوله الحق: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم رجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا.
الله صل على محمد وآل محمد.
ميادس بابس، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mercy and the bounties of Allah, we gather here once again tonight in this holy month, the Sha'rullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Rajab. And it's a month which is full of blessings, bountiful blessings being showered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst all His creation. Not just the believers, but all of His creation can benefit from His bounties and mercy. And it is in this month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered His biggest bounty amongst mankind, which was the birth of the Biladat, or much for the Amdur Mu'min, Ayyub Ta'alim Ta'alim, alayhi salam. And to remember this date of the birth of Imam, we are gathered today. It is not surprising that this esteemed or this great personality was not only born in the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Rajab, but was also born in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Holy Kaaba. And indeed, his martyrdom also took place but in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Masjid al-Kufa. And this is the greatness of the personality that we are here to talk about today. Now, traditionally, or what we normally look at when discussing Amir al-Mu'mineen, because his life is vast, and generally we tend to talk about his fazail, the good things that he achieved in his lifetime. Whilst it's not wrong, in fact, it is highly recommended that in every gathering the fazail of Amir al-Mu'mineen should be discussed, and that adds to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that gathering. But I feel that these other parts of Amir al-Mu'mineen's life that unfortunately we sometimes tend to overlook. I'll give you an example. All my elders here and most of the youngsters who inshallah will come soon will bear testimony that when we were studying in school, every one of us had thick books, 500, 700 pages, especially in the sciences, physics, chemistry, biology. And we would have to master that whole book to pass our exams. If you did not master that book, you had no chance of succeeding. We did everything possible to master these books. Now the question is, on the day of Qiyamah, you and I both know that there is no chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about the biology or the physics or the chemistry that we studied. But there is one book or a number of books on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expect us, especially the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, at least have some knowledge. One book, of course, the foundation of Islam is the Holy Quran. The other book that I feel that dwells on the merits of Amir al-Mu'mineen more on a scholarly basis and what pertains to our life is the book that has been authored and narrated by Amir al-Mu'mineen himself, none other than Nahjul Balagha. Unfortunately, this book either gathers dust on our bookshelves or we have never fully acknowledged its material and how much it has to give us in our modern day lives. Amongst the fazail of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we are all aware that Amir al-Mu'mineen name was Fateh Khaybar. He was the victor who brought down the fort of Khaybar. He was Fateh Khandaq in the month of Maher Ramadan when he defeated the Quraysh giants whom nobody wanted to face. He was Fateh Ahad and Badr. Ahad is where everybody ran away, but the Holy, but Imam Ali stood by the Holy Prophet and saved his life. And we know Amir al-Mu'mineen with all this splendor, he was the one who stood on the shoulders of the Holy Prophet and brought down the idols. Now, when I say brought down the idols, it seems like a very easy thing to do. One just stands and removes idols. But the reality of bringing down the idols is something else. You do not realize that it had to be a person of the caliber of Amir al-Mu'mineen to bring down those idols. Now the question is, how does one become like Amir al-Mu'mineen? We all want to be strong, shuja. We all want to be, let us say in the modern day terms, He-Man and Superman. All of us want to have those powers that Amir al-Mu'mineen seemed to show in those battles, in his piety, in his ladders. How does one acquire this? Let's look at Amir al-Mu'mineen. The first thing that I have alluded to is bringing down the idols. Those idols could only be brought down by somebody who had worshipped none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will find that in the time of Jahalat, or just after Islam had been propagated and Makkah had been acquired under the Muslim rule, apart from the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen, there was none other who was there who had never worshipped any other god except Allah. It was only and only Amir al-Mu'mineen. Yes, Janab Abu Talib and Abu Muttalib were there, but this was before the conquest of Makkah. After the conquest of Makkah, it was only Amir al-Mu'mineen who was there, who had always bowed down to only that one Allah. That Allah, whom he describes eloquently in Nahdul Balagha, he says, you cannot form the basis of worship without the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we sincerely understand all elements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he means, what is our duty as a slave of Allah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with, how can one recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Until that ma'rifah and cognizance, understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, one cannot achieve the pinnacle of Tawheed, without which one cannot be a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the attribute of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Holy Prophet at that time. And this was why it was easy for him to stand on the shoulders of the Holy Prophet. And also after removing the idols in Makkah, those idols in the other towns, it was always Amir al-Mu'mineen who was sent to remove them. Why? Because in his heart, not even for a second did he think that this was at one time my God and I'm destroying it. Because he had only worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I relate it to my life today, in my life there's so many idols. For me also to break an idol is a problem. For example, I am so much in love with my parents. If for the sake of religion I am expected to sacrifice my parents, will I be able to do that? Let's look at Abu Abdullah Hussein in Karbala. When he was expected to sacrifice his family, he had no idols and he did not have that kind of love that we tend to attach to our worldly gains or our families. He loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalisan wajhillah, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah's sake, if he had to sacrifice his family and himself, he was ready to put them on the line. This lesson of Tawheed, the first lesson that I want to give you from Amir al-Mu'mineen tonight, can only be achieved if we read Nahdul Balagha and understand the God that Amir al-Mu'mineen is talking about. Not the God that maybe in my mind I conceived, and maybe that is why at times I have a problem in my worship. The second thing that we can learn from Amir al-Mu'mineen, there's a nice hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen says, by Allah, now when Amir al-Mu'mineen swears by Allah, it is not like the people we find on the streets are always saying, Wallah, Ya Allah, I swear by Allah. That swearing on the streets that we hear, even sometimes if I am swearing like that, and God forbid if I swear for something that is a lie or is false, then I have created another God who supports my falsehood, which means I'm doing shirk at some level in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is highly prohibited to swear by the name of Allah unless and until you are certain of your facts and it is going to make a big difference. Just like how Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he swears by Allah, he's saying there's emphasis in what I'm going to say now. So he says, by Allah, I would rather spend a whole night standing on thorns